So last week we started on a small sermon series, and we're looking at the life of Moses, and we're looking at four parts of Moses' life, four probably pretty big pieces of his life. Last week we looked at the burning bush, and just the whole idea that God called Moses, Moses' response, and how God used Moses despite some of Moses' insecurities that he has. And this morning we're jumping forward quite a few chapters, I think 9 or 10 chapters in the book of Exodus. And if you're going to be following with me, you'll want to make your way to Exodus chapter 14. So a whole bunch of stuff happens between the burning bush and where we get to today. Primarily, a big piece of that passage is the different plagues that they face as a people. And then next week, we're going to be going forward even further. We're going to Exodus 19 and 20, and we're going to be talking about and looking at Moses and the Ten Commandments and how we are to follow God's word and God's commandments and God's instructions in our lives. So in preparation for next week, I encourage you to read Exodus chapter 19 and chapter 20. But for today, we're going to be back at Exodus 14. So I ask you, have you ever felt stuck in life? Have you ever found yourself in a situation in life where it doesn't feel like you have a good option moving forward, but you look back and it also doesn't feel like you have a very good option behind you? Right? Like everything that you're looking at, it might be based on a broken relationship or financial hardship or spiritual battle that you're facing, but either direction you look just doesn't look like a good option. You kind of feel in your spirit, in your fears maybe, you feel like this is the end that I'm facing. I'm going to guess some of us in here have felt that way at some point in our lives. And maybe even gone as far as to say that we feel like, where is God? Has God forgotten me in what I'm going through right now? The Israelites, in chapter 14, they knew that feeling very well, I believe. Right? In Exodus chapter 14, they're literally between a rock and a hard place, or if we're getting real accurate about it, they're between the Red Sea and the Pharaoh's army. Right? So if they're looking this way, they're seeing the Red Sea in front of them, their only escape path. And if they're looking this way, they're facing Pharaoh's army. And they're caught in the middle. There's no good options for them. But it's in this exact kind of moment that God shows his power, right? If you're in Exodus chapter 14 and you look at verse 13 and 14. In Exodus 14, 13 and 14, really it captures Moses' powerful words that he offers to this terrified people that are looking at drowning if they continue forward. And they're looking at certain death if they continue and turn around and go backwards. And Moses says to them, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." This morning, we're going to spend our time exploring what it means to trust God in every circumstance, right? To trust God in the big circumstances where all we can see is this isn't good in front of me and this isn't good behind me. There's still this spot in the middle that we stand that we can learn to trust God. Maybe it's especially when it feels impossible, our circumstances. When life feels trapped, when you're living life and you feel trapped between an army and a sea, God calls us to trust in his presence. God calls us to trust in his plan. And God calls us to trust in his power. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day and this time together. We pray, Lord God, that as we go into your word, as we study your word this morning, that you would speak into our lives. Heavenly Father, I am convinced that there are people here today that find themselves between a Red Sea and a Pharaoh's army. And there seems like there's no good option in their circumstances, Lord God. May your word today speak into their lives hope, trust, comfort. Father God, use your word to change your people. I pray this in your holy name. Amen. So the first thing I want us to look at is that God leads us on purpose, not by accident. God leads us on purpose, not by accident. That's number one. If you are following with us in Exodus chapter 14, starting at verse 1, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea, directly opposite Baal-Zephon. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all of his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord." So the Israelites did this. At first glance, this plan sounds like a disaster waiting to happen. Right? Go plant yourself between two places you can't get out of. Like, why would God intentionally lead people into a death trap, into a dead end with no escape route? That had to be what they were thinking. That's what I would be thinking. I think the reason why is because God doesn't make mistakes. God makes moments and opportunities for miracles to take place. We don't think like God does. But that's what God does. He doesn't make mistakes. He makes miracles. Sometimes God leads us to places that don't make much sense so that his glory can be revealed and our faith can grow. Did you catch that in the passage that we just read? But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all of his army. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. I will gain glory for myself. Glory will come to God as a result of what's about to happen. Think about it. The Israelites were exactly where God told them to be. Their position was part of God's plan, not a result of bad luck or poor leadership on God's part. What looked like a trap, I would suggest, was actually a setup for a miracle, for something God-sized to need to take place. Now, in today's world, if we're driving down our road and we don't know where we're going and we're using our GPS and we end up on a dead-end road, our first thought is that this thing's broken, right? Like, this thing's not working right. It shouldn't have brought me to a dead-end road. But in this story, God himself was the GPS. He led them there intentionally. Not to destroy them, but to display his power. As Christ followers, we have to remember that God's purpose isn't always visible in the moment. In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, we're reminded through God's words, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. We got to keep that in mind as followers of Christ. God's ways, God's thoughts are so much higher than my ways and my thoughts. So sometimes we may never understand the why on this side of heaven. True faith doesn't need all the details. Right? Like that's part of living in faith, is that we don't have all the answers all the time. Faith trusts the one who is leading us. Faith trusts God. So if we're living our lives in faith, when we're stuck between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army, and we're in the middle, true faith in this moment is trusting God. The difficulties that you and I face in life are not just simple detours or bumps along the road. Like I know sometimes we like to say that, like this is just a bump along the road kind of thing. And perhaps those are like actually divinely appointed moments and appointments in our lives that God's going to use to do something big with. So when you find yourself in a situation you don't understand, don't assume that you're outside of God's will. You might be exactly where He wants you, setting the stage for His glory to shine through your situation. Many of you have found yourself in this exact situation. I have found myself in this exact situation at times in my life. And it's only once you get through that that you're able to see that God's the glory has been brought to God's name. So our first point this morning is God leads us on purpose, not by accident. The second one is fear will fight your faith. Don't try to say it five times fast. Fear will fight your faith. This one, I think, is so important for us to remember. As we go on in Exodus chapter 14, jumping down to verse 10, it says, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. So the army's coming after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? Can you kind of hear like the sarcasm and despair that's in their voices? Like fear had taken over. Listen, fear has a way of magnifying our problems. Faith magnifies God. Fear will magnify your problems. Faith will magnify God. Fear will always fight against faith. The enemy knows that if he can get us to focus on Pharaoh, on the army, instead of on the pillar of fire, or if he can get us to focus on things that bring fear into our lives, instead of God who brings hope into our lives, then we'll start to panic. Fear distorts reality and makes us forget God's past faithfulness. Last week I talked, as we were talking about Moses and the burning bush, one of the things that we talked about was how when God's presence is with us, it changes the whole situation. And the illustration I gave was when we have little children, or when we were little children, and you're in your bedroom and it's dark and it's nighttime, and your kid's screaming, and you go into the room and the kid's screaming because they maybe see monsters under the bed, or it's a lightning storm, or whatever the case might be. The presence of mom and dad helps bring peace to the situation, right? So that's what we talked about last week. Well, a child who's afraid in the dark or imagining monsters everywhere, when the light comes on in the room, is another reality, right? They realize that there is never anything there. Fear works in the same way. It magnifies shadows and it hides the truth. In the last five chapters of Exodus, the Israelites had just seen God unleash 10 plagues on Egypt. They had seen the Passover lamb's blood spare their families. They had seen God's visible presence in the pillar of fire and cloud. Yet the first sign of trouble, what did they do? They forgot about all of it. They forgot about everything. We must be so careful because fear is loud. It drowns out faith if we let it. That's why Moses is. Commanded them in verse 13. He said, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm." I really think that a key to overcoming fear is to remember God's past victories. That's why it's important that we share God's victories with each other. Because the victory that you have experienced as a result of God in your life can bring hope to other people when they may be facing something fearful. When we intentionally do this, recognize God's past victories in our lives and other people's lives, all of a sudden, we are reminded of God's presence, His provision. We're reminded of God's power. Psalm 77, verse 11 and 12 says, "I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago." In moments of fear, we need to speak Scripture out loud, declare God's promises over our circumstances. Faith grows when we feed it with God's word. So our second point is, fear will fight your faith. Our third point today is, we need to stand still and step forward. Stand still and step forward. So this really comes from verses 13 through 16. It says, "Moses answered the people, 'Do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you.'" And then it says, "You need only be still. Stand still." "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea, and divide the water so the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground.'" I love those four verses. This moment, I think, is fascinating, right? Because Moses tells the people in verse 14, "The Lord will fight for you. All you need to do is stand still." But then in the very next verse, God says to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to move on. Stand still. Move on." Right? So what's the answer? Stand still or move on? The answer is both. Stand still and move on. Be prepared to do both. Faith sometimes means waiting. Other times, it means walking. There are moments when God calls us absolutely to be still, to stop striving, and simply to trust Him. And there are other moments when He says, "Now it's time to take a step of obedience." Rachel and I, I've shared this with you guys many times if you attend here, that we go for walks on a, I'm going to say, daily basis. And we usually walk through the LVC campus. And this summer was kind of interesting. I am a person that likes to see new construction and all that kind of stuff take place. So this summer was kind of fun for me because they had all kinds of stuff going on over at the campus. And one of the things that they were working on was updating their football field and the track around the field. And I share this with you because it reminds me of the need to stand still, but also be ready to move forward. Because as they were putting in this track, if you know much about track and field at all, there are areas that they call exchange zones. And those are areas where when they're doing a relay race, they have to hand the baton to the next person, right? So they did a really nice job with the exchange zones and all that, and we were commenting on them a couple different times as we were walking. And I got to thinking this week as I was thinking about this, that's the stand still and move forward zone of the track relay, right? Like when you are running in the relay, you are standing at the beginning of that exchange zone, and you're just standing there. You're standing and you're waiting. You're anticipating what's about to come. And your teammate's running, and as they're coming up behind you, as soon as they're getting close to that exchange zone, you don't keep standing still anymore. Now it's time to, like, move, and move aggressively, and move fast, and give it your all. That's the stand still, but be ready to move kind of concept. Sometimes you hold your position, waiting for the baton. Other times you run with all your might. Both actions are essential. But the timing is everything. Stillness, the standing still, it shows surrender. Right? Psalm 46, verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." When we stop trying to fix everything ourselves, when we stand still and trust that God's at work, we give space for God to move. Movement shows obedience oftentimes. In James chapter 2, verse 17, it says, "Faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." God parted the Red Sea after they started moving. In Matthew chapter 14, it's a story that's familiar to many people here, right? Peter walks on water. What did Peter have to do before he could walk on water? He had to take a step. He had to be in motion. He had to be going. Sometimes the miracle happens mid-step. I truly believe that this is kind of the rhythm of faith, right? Like, pause to trust and step to obey. So I ask you, is there an area in your life where you've been paralyzed by indecision? If there is, ask God, is this a moment for me to stand still and wait? Or is this a moment for me to step forward and act? And then listen carefully. I believe His Spirit will guide you. So we have times in our life where we stand still, and we have times in our life where we step forward. The fourth and final thing I want us to touch on this morning is God gets the glory through your story. Exodus chapter 14, we're jumping down to verse 30 here. It says, "That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in Him." So why did God do all this? Yes, to deliver His people, but ultimately it was for His glory. Remember the first passage we read this morning? From the beginning of Exodus, in verse 4, it said, "I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all of his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am Lord." The people feared the Lord and put their trust in Him. Our deliverance isn't just about our freedom. It's about His fame. When God does something miraculous in your life, it's meant to point others to Him. So often, what we will discover as we live our lives is that our Red Sea moments can become somebody else's testimony of God's power. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Every trial that you and I endure, that we face, that we go through, is a stage for God's glory to be shown. The Israelites didn't just cross the Red Sea and move on. It says in the very next chapter, chapter 15, that they sang a song of victory, publicly declaring God's greatness. Go home this afternoon and read chapter 15. Read their song declaring God's greatness. When God comes through for you, this is kind of the action piece of what we're talking about today. When God comes through for you, tell somebody. Don't just hold that to yourself. Tell somebody about it. Share your story. Share your story of deliverance. Share your story of how God showed up in some way, shape, or form. Share your story of healing. Share your story of whatever it is. Share it at home. Share it at church. Share it at work. Share it at school. Share it with your friends. Share it with anybody that will listen to you. Your testimony might be the spark that ignites faith in somebody else. When God parts your Red Sea, tell the story. Throughout life, we all have or we all will face Red Sea moments. Times when we're hemmed in from both sides, right? We're trapped. We're trapped between the Red Sea and an army that wants to kill us. And fear becomes a part of that. And we're tempted just to give up hope. When that happens, we would do really well to remember the four truths we just talked about this morning. That God leads on purpose. Right? You're not lost in whatever situation you're in. You're exactly where He intends you to be. Fear will fight your faith. We should be reminded to keep that in check, to choose to let faith speak louder than fear. If there are times that we need to stand still and there's times that we need to step forward, that we need to trust and obey, and both are required. And we need to remember that God gets the glory. Your story is a testimony to others. In those difficult times, in your Red Sea moments, remember what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verse 31. He said, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" The God who parted the Red Sea is the same God who fights for you and for me today. Just imagine, like, standing with Israel on the shore after the waters closed. Right? You're wet. You're exhausted. It's been a tiring few days. You're overwhelmed. You look back and you see the army that once terrified you, and they're lying defeated. In that moment, you realize God did this. He made a way where there was no way. I'm 100% sure that there are some of you here today that are facing Red Sea moments. You're in the midst of them. Whatever sea you're facing today, whether it be health issues, whether it be financial struggles, broken relationships, work problems, stresses at school, relationships, know that God is still in the business of parting waters. Trust Him. Follow Him. But it has to start with you taking it to Him. And then when the miracle comes, give glory to God. In just a moment, I'm going to close our time with a word of prayer. But before that, I just want to remind you all that just through these doors, the other side of the hallway, there's a room that's open. We have a team in there that would love to pray with you this morning. So if you're facing something, you have a Red Sea that's in front of you, you feel trapped between two hard spots, take it to God today. Take it to God. Turn it over to Him. Maybe for you it's trying to figure out whether this is a moment that you're supposed to stand still and trust, or a moment where you're supposed to be taking steps of obedience. Spend time talking to God this morning, seeking that direction from Him, so that you know how to move forward, how to proceed in the Red Sea that you are facing today. So as soon as I'm done praying, worship team's going to come and lead us in our closing song. That room is open. And if you would like somebody to pray with you, if you just want to go in there and pray by yourself, you can do that too. But it'd just be a quiet place for you to be able to spend some time with God. We'd encourage you to do that. Lord, we thank You that You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. When we face our own Red Sea moments, Lord, help us to trust Your presence. Help us to trust Your plan. Help us to trust Your power. Heavenly Father, teach us to stand still when You call us to wait and to step forward when You call us to move. And when You deliver us, help us to boldly share the story of Your greatness. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.